As we have considered God at the beginning of our identity, we have recognized some truly marvelous names attributed to God. But perhaps there is none of the names of God in Scripture that are more beloved to us than the one found in Psalm 23. Not given necessarily as a name in the same sense that some of the others that we've looked at this month. But Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. But what's truly fascinating and wonderful about Psalm 23 is the fact that Psalm 23 itself is almost an outline of some of the greatest names of God. So as we wrap up our month, looking at our identity, God at the beginning of our identity, the names of God, tonight we're going to worship our way through Psalm 23, being reminded of some of the names of God that we've learned this month, but being introduced to some other names as well. But I pray that by the time we're done this evening, we will desire God more than we desire anything else. So please listen attentively as Brother Bellinger leads us in a reading of Psalm 23. And following that, Brother Moore is going to have us all sing together Psalm 23.
This is Psalm 23. It should be up on the screen. This would have been David speaking in Hebrew. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall flow before me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So. Oh.
Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. To a sheep, what makes all the difference is his shepherd. When the shepherd is bad, the sheep are mangy, diseased, unhealthy, not at peace, struggling, and in violent and dangerous situations. But when the shepherd is good, then the sheep are healthy. They are at peace. They are strong, well provided for. David, in this psalm, Psalm 23, is as a sheep who is proclaiming to those who are around him the praises and blessings of his shepherd. It's basically the old schoolyard taunt. My shepherd is better than your shepherd. And the fact is, our shepherd is indeed the great shepherd. In both Old Testament and New Testament, his shepherding skill is praised. We find in Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning at verse 11, where he says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture and on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be their shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." That is our shepherd. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus the Christ, Yahweh in the flesh, the good shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd," Jesus declared. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is our shepherd, and what a great shepherd he is. Let us follow him as Yahweh Rohi. Let us follow his guidance as our shepherd. Will you help me teach this point by singing along with us the guidance medley, the Savior's guidance medley? Brother Tim will lead us. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Yira. The Lord will provide. And we recognize that when God revealed himself to Abraham and therefore to Israel by this name, that this was not just simply some idea that every single thing we might ever ask for, every single thing we might ever want, God was necessarily going to give that to us. Rather, when we go to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, we find a very specific statement. Listen, I understand. Every good and perfect gift comes from God above. We need to give him thanks for that. But Yahweh Yireh is really foreshadowing and telling us of something very specific about our God. In Genesis chapter 22, as Abraham had been commanded to sacrifice Isaac, but he said, the Lord will provide. When Isaac had asked where the sacrifice was, and Abraham was ready. And then the Lord stopped him. And there was a ram for Abraham to sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. What was really being spoken of was something that was going to happen on that very mountain where the temple was built and sacrifices were offered. And outside the city gates on the mount of the Lord, Jesus was provided. You see, it may seem awful and horrendous to us that God said Isaac needed to die, but really that shouldn't shock us because that is the way it is for each and every one of us. Each of us should die as God had said Isaac should. But the Lord on his mountain has provided the sacrifice, the replacement, the Lamb of God. God has indeed provided on his mountain. Would you please stand with me and let's praise God for a hill called Mount Calvary, where he has provided.
Do me so.
There are things that we
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Peace. Because He is Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, He is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. God is revealed to us in this way in Judges chapter 6. With Gideon and the altar that he built. And while certainly as we consider this name, it highlights the peace that God was going to provide for Israel against the Midianites and throughout their history if they would follow Him as their shepherd. And it highlights every aspect of peace. There's one particular thing I would like for us to notice as we consider that account that led to this name. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon wants to show hospitality to this messenger that he's not yet sure who it is. But he gathers some food and he presents it, and this angelic messenger says, place it there on the rock, and he touches it and it burns up immediately. And then the angel disappears in the smoke, and then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon understands he's seen more than he should see. And he is afraid that death is the only option. Alas, I have seen God's messenger face to face. But God now speaks to him saying, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And so Gideon built an altar there to Yahweh and called it, Yahweh is peace. You see, Gideon had the idea that so many people have, that Yahweh is just sitting up there in heaven looking for reasons to zap people. And now he has seen the angel of the Lord face to face, and he's afraid that he's about to get zapped. But God says to him, no, 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 peace to you. And Gideon understands Yahweh is not looking for the opportunity to blast, to zap, to destroy and kill. He's looking for the opportunity to give life and peace. And when we consider in the new covenant what God has done to provide peace, we need to understand that our God is not in heaven trying to figure out opportunities to cast people into hell. Our God is striving to pave the way for us to be with Him forever in heaven. And the lengths to which He was willing to go to reconcile us and make peace between us can be seen in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. Peace. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Peace. Perfect peace. The God of peace, the Lord of peace. He is Yahweh Rohi, our shepherd. And because He is Yahweh Shalom, our peace. Will you sing the peace medley with us as we honor and glorify God for His peace? He restores my soul. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, my shepherd, he is Yahweh Rophe, the Lord, our healer. God reveals himself as this healer in the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 26. Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 3 days without water, and they thought that water would save them. But they came to the water, and it was bitter, and it did not save. They thought they needed water, but the only thing they needed was Yahweh. Because water does not heal. Yahweh heals. And so Yahweh said to them, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Of all the things that we chase and pursue because we believe that they will provide us with comfort, with escape, with relief, because they think that somehow those things will overcome the bitter times and the wilderness in which we sometimes wander. None of them provide the healing. There is only one that provides healing, and that is Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that restores my soul. Yahweh is the one who heals, and Yahweh has healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter where we roam and no matter where we are led, whether it is in dark days or days of sunshine, whether it is on the highest plateaus of the mountaintops or in the deepest, darkest lows of the chasms and valleys, we can proclaim that it is well with our soul because Yahweh Rophe, he restores our soul. Will you sing with me, "It is well with my soul"?
Know me so.
leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. He is Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. This name is revealed to us in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, where Yahweh says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." I can't help but notice that this statement is made immediately on the heels of Yahweh's declaration of shepherding once again. In Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares Yahweh. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." And then he goes on to talk about the shepherd that he will put over them, and he talks about the righteous branch, whom, of course, we are aware, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. But what is truly fascinating to me is that this is repeated again just 10 chapters later as our Bibles are divided. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15 and 16, the statement is almost repeated verbatim. He says, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it shall be called. Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness." Did you catch that? In the original passage, "He shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Here, as he refers to Jerusalem, "it shall be called the Lord is our righteousness." Do you understand what that's saying? Because our King is righteous, we, the heavenly Jerusalem, are righteous. Because our shepherd is righteous, he leads in paths of righteousness, and we as his city are also known as the Lord is our righteousness. What a king we have, a king who should be praised. We should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Will you stand with me as we praise our heavenly King, Jesus the Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, he is Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. God in his presence is revealed in the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. As Ezekiel was seeing a vision of the heavenly city of God. He was seeing a vision of Jerusalem, but it was not a vision of any Jerusalem that he had known. But rather it was exaggerated in every sense. He was seeing the city of God that relied on God and is protected by God. A prophetic fulfillment that was yet to come. And at the very end of this description of the city of God, the circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on shall be Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. Here's what's truly powerful about this. No doubt there was fulfillment in restored Israel and fulfillment in the rebuilt Jerusalem. But brothers and sisters, what Ezekiel was seeing was us. What Ezekiel was seeing was the church of Christ. What Ezekiel was seeing was the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God that has come down from heaven, that is here even now as we speak, that we make up. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 22, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly or church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." When we come to Christ and when we come to his church, we have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to Mount Zion. And what did Ezekiel know and what did he proclaim? Yahweh is there. Yahweh is here. His presence is with us. He is our companion. He is our shepherd. He is our king. He is our friend. And so we pray to him, "Abide with me." And we know that his answer will be yes, because Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Will you pray with me? Abide with me.
Thank you.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the presence of my enemies. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. He is Yahweh Nisi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my standard. If you missed this morning's lesson, you need to go back and listen to it. The Lord is our banner. God revealed himself this way to Israel in the first battle they had against Amalek. And there Moses built an altar and he called the name of it Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. As we learned this morning, among the Egyptians, the armies were divided often in divisions named after Egyptian gods. And in their temples and in their armies, they would carry these staves or standards or banners around which folks would rally in their divisions in the army. Israel had come out of Egypt, but they were not Egyptians. Their banners were not decorated with the gods of Egypt. Their banner was Yahweh. And the Lord is our banner. And as God had Moses raise up on a standard, the serpent, to which Israel could look when they were bitten, Jesus tells us that he himself was raised up. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The Lord is our standard. The Lord is our banner. And though we face tremendous foes, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When we step out on the battlefield, we do not need to fear, because Yahweh is our banner. When we strive to put to death the sins and the things that are earthly within us, we do not need to cower, because the Lord is our banner. When we strive to take the gospel message of salvation to those who are in the world, we do not need to tremble. And we do not need to hang back. Because the Lord is our banner. Yahweh Nisi. The battle belongs to our Lord. He has already won the battle in Jesus Christ on the cross, our banner. Will you please sing with me? The battle belongs to Yahweh, to the Lord.
Glory, honor, and strength to the Lord. We
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And yet, who can dwell in the house of the Lord? Who can dwell in fellowship with God? Who can be with God? Does this not get us back to what Leviticus repeatedly said? That is quoted for us under the new covenant in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, when it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And now we're in a quandary. Who will dwell in the house of the Lord but those who are holy? And you and I have failed on that count. How will we dwell in the house of the Lord? Well, because Yahweh Rohi, he is also Yahweh Makadesh, the Lord who makes us holy. He is the Lord who sanctifies. Do you remember the promises that God has given to us in our covenant in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." This is what Yahweh will do for us. He is the God who makes holy. He has not said to us, "Go make yourself holy, then come to me." He has said, "Come to me, I will make you holy." Does this not get us full circle back to where we began? Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember what the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 34? "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture and on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be their shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is our shepherd. He has promised this. He will draw us back. He will bind up the injured. He will seek the lost and the straying." He is Yahweh Makadesh, the Lord who makes holy. And do you remember the lengths to which he has gone so that we might be holy? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." I will remind you, if he would send his Son and sacrifice him that we might be made holy, what would he not do? Will you praise God with me as we sing the holiness medley? Yahweh is my shepherd. Because he is my shepherd, Yahweh Rohi. He is Yahweh Yireh. He is my provider. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord my peace. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Rophe, my healer. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Sidkenu, my righteousness. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Shammah, my companion. Because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Nisi, my banner. And because he is Yahweh Rohi, he is Yahweh Makadesh. He is the one who makes me holy. And did you grasp at each step of the way that every single one of these pointed to Jesus, our Savior? Jesus, who is the good shepherd. Jesus, who was provided for us on God's mountain. Jesus, who is our peace, whose blood reconciles us to God. Jesus, who is our healer, whose sacrifice on the cross heals the sins that separate us from our God. Jesus, who is my righteousness, who, because he was righteous, could be the sacrifice that would take my sins away, that I might be righteous. Jesus, who is called Emmanuel, God is with us, who is my companion, who is present. Jesus, who on the cross is our standard, is our banner. Jesus, whose death and sacrifice makes us holy. Friends and neighbors, when this is the Savior that Yahweh has offered us, how can there be any response other than making him your shepherd? I saw online one time a picture. I tried to find it again so I could show it to you, but I couldn't find it this week. Someone sitting in a lawn chair, looked like some kind of parade was going by, and they just decided to make a statement. They had a sign that said, "Only sheep need a shepherd." That's true. Only sheep need a shepherd. Are you willing to admit that you're a sheep? That's hard to do. Hard to do. There are so many who want to proclaim, "I got this. Holiness, I got it. Righteousness, I got it. Healing, I don't need that. That's for weak people. That's for sick people. I would never admit that. Leadership and guidance, I got this under control." And so I'm going to tell you tonight that if you are too good to need a shepherd, I've got nothing for you. But if you have come to the end of yourself and realize that you need something else, then I know a shepherd who's ready to let you be one of his sheep. I know a shepherd who is ready to be your righteousness, your holiness, your healer, your companion, your peace. He said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Will you follow his lead and let him save you? We're going to sing the 23rd Psalm one more time. "The Lord my shepherd is." Some of us are declaring that, and we're proud that we're sheep, because we know our shepherd is great. We would invite you to be a part of our flock and follow our shepherd, because we know how awesome it is to follow him. If you're ready to get in our flock with Jesus as shepherd, as we sing our declaration, we invite you to come down to the front. We'll let you confess your faith in Jesus, and we'll baptize you into Christ, and he will be your shepherd. He will be your righteousness, your holiness, your peace, your companion. Are you ready for that? If we can help you, won't you please come right now as we stand and sing?